9:20 and some change, Chap said.
Which bank did he use?
Helen asked. I have no idea. Like I said, he was very private about his money. And in one respect, Chap was telling the truth. Trevor had wired the $900,000 from the Bahamas to Bermuda, and from there the trail had disappeared. The money was now hidden in a bank somewhere, in a numbered account accessible only by Trevor Carson. They knew he was headed for Grand Cayman, but the bankers there were famous for their secrecy. 2 days of intense digging had revealed nothing. The man who shot him took his wallet and room key, and while the police were inspecting the crime scene, the gunman searched the hotel room. There was about $8,000 in cash hidden in a drawer and nothing else of any significance. Not a clue as to where Trevor had parked his money. It was the collected wisdom at Langley that Trevor, for some reason, suspected he was being followed closely. The bulk of the cash was missing, though he could have deposited it in a bank in Bermuda. His hotel room had been secured without a reservation. He simply walked in from the street and paid cash for one night. A person on the run, chasing $900,000 from one island to the next, would have, somewhere on his body or his effects, evidence of banking activities. Trevor had none. While Aunt Helen riffled through what would surely be the only cash they'd net from the estate, Wes thought about the fortune lost somewhere in the Caribbean.
"What do we do now?"
Trevor's mother asked. Chap shrugged and said, "I guess you need to bury him."
"Can you help us?"
"That's not really something I do. I..."
"Should we take him back to Scranton?"
Helen asked. "That's up to you."
"How much would that cost?"
Helen asked. "I have no idea. I've never had to do anything like this."
"But all his friends are here,"
his mother said, touching her eyes with a tissue.
"He left Scranton a long time ago,"
Helen said, her eyes cutting in all directions, as if there was a long story behind Trevor's leaving Scranton. No doubt, thought Chap.
"I'm sure his friends here will want a memorial service,"
Mrs. Carson said. "Actually, one is already planned," Chap said.
"It is?"
she said, thrilled. "Yes, it's tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
"Where?"
"A place called Pete's, just down the street a few blocks."
"Pete's?"
Helen said.
It's
sort of a restaurant."
"A restaurant? What about a church?"
"I don't think he went."
"He did when he was a boy,"
his mother said in defense. In memory of Trevor, the 5 o'clock happy hour would begin at 4 and run until midnight. 50-cent long necks, Trevor's favorite.
"Should we go?"
asked Helen, sensing trouble.
"I wouldn't think so."
"Why not?"
asked Mrs. Carson.
"It could be a rough crowd. A bunch of lawyers and judges, you know the scene."
He frowned at Helen, and she got the message. They asked about funeral parlors and cemetery lots, and Chap felt himself getting dragged deeper and deeper into their problems. The CIA killed Trevor. Was it expected to send him off with a proper burial? Klockner thought not. After the ladies left, Wes and Chap finished the removal of the cameras, wires, mics, and phone taps. They tidied up the place, and when they locked the doors for the last time, Trevor's office had never been so orderly. Half of Klockner's team had already left town. The other half monitored Wilson Argro inside Trumbull, and they waited